the background, why I'm doing this and why I'm here, why I was sent to Ghana. And then I'm going to ask my friend Dave to come and share for just 3 or 4 minutes his first impressions of Ghana. Hopefully none of you know me professionally, but I'm the circuit public defender, the chief public defender for the 3-county judicial circuit here. And so I have a real ministry among the people here in our own community. But in years past, I've been both a pastor and a missionary with short-term mission agencies and traveled to a number of countries and led a lot of trips and teams and of all different sizes around the world. And so I'm part of Covenant Community, the church here in town. And through one of our members, Ruthie Muscovitz, we were challenged to begin also supporting the work in Ghana, this particular work called City of Refuge. And so a couple of years ago, my pastor, Pastor Steve Fields, asked if I would go and just check it out, make sure that it's on the up and up, what's really happening there and how we might be involved. And so 2 years ago, I was here just after that trip. My wife and I went and spent a couple of weeks. And that trip, we actually stayed in the village more, that I'll talk to you about in just a moment. And then this past September, Dave and I went and spent a couple of weeks. And this time we expanded a little bit outside of Kromame, the village where the City of Refuge is. And so I'm going to walk you through some slides in just a few moments, but this was Dave's first trip to Ghana. And so I've asked him to take 3 or 4 minutes and give you his first impressions, both of the ministry that's going on there and of Coffee, who heads that ministry up.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Can you hear me without a mic?
Oh, we need the mic for the stage.
Oh, okay.
Hello? Is it working? Okay. Hi, I'm Dave. I'm a friend of Mike's. We did go and spend several weeks in Ghana recently. I have gone on several mission trips. That was the first one to Africa, and it was unique to me. Mike mentioned City of Refuge, and Coffee's mother, Comfort. Let's see, let me get this right. She gave us these before we left, and I was just tickled to receive this this shawl. They appreciate us and everything that we do, and that's just everywhere evident over there. So any help that we give them, they are very gracious and very thankful for it. Now, years ago, Comfort, who is Coffee's mother, started this. And then as Coffee grew up and went through schooling and became a man, it turns out he's very entrepreneurial. And so he carried this work virtually unassisted by anyone. And in fact, even to this day, no one in Ghana, no church over there is helping him. The only help he receives is from Crossroads and Covenant and a few people, I think up in Tennessee perhaps. But with or without any help, he has the type of drive, the imagination, the entrepreneurial spirit, and all his intellect, and he's given that over to God to use. And I'm sure that he would continue with or without any help whatsoever. But we can facilitate that. I was pleasantly surprised that when we were there, we saw that he took us out into the surrounding villages, Kromame and surrounding villages. And he has reached out and made connections and made friends and established relationships with people beyond Kromame. And I don't know what tomorrow holds for Coffee and this ministry over there, but I think it's going to grow into something that will really surprise us in a pleasant way as he carries the word of God. Also, it may not have been his original idea, but working with these orphans, he has not built an orphanage. And I think of how that might be similar, an orphanage similar to a prison, in that the children there are isolated, they're warehoused, They're cut off from the outside world to a large degree, and they require around-the-clock maintenance and, you know, a paid staff and all the other expenses involved in a typical orphanage. And the way, and Michael explained what he's done, but it's unique. And I believe that it could be used as a pattern throughout the entire world for how to effectively serve and work with orphans and lead them in a home environment and still meet their needs. Before I turn it over to Mike, there's just one thing that stands out in my mind paramount. We were in one of the little villages and showing a Christian film. It was night. And I was out in the periphery, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw this little girl. She was probably around 3 years old, maybe not quite that old. And she was about 10 feet away, and she was just watching this strange man with the strange hair and the strange color skin, the strange clothes, and even wearing shoes. And so she was fascinated, I think. And when I saw her, I smiled at her and waved. And she immediately stepped behind two slightly older boys, and they snickered. You know, she was, shy. And so I turned my attention back to what was going on in the service. A little while later, there she is, and she's about 3 feet away. And I didn't try to bother her, didn't want to scare her off. So I turned my attention back to the service. And it was just a short time later that I feel this. And the little girl had come up and she was touching me, this strange man. And so I reached down and she didn't resist and I picked her up and held her. And in a short time, she had relaxed and laid her little head down on my shoulder and went to sleep. And I thought, my, is this not a picture of Christ and you and me? And the world, how he doesn't intimidate and he doesn't force his way. He's just kind and gentle and friendly. And he encourages us to come to him. And that little girl was, I think, a lot like us. She came to me and relaxed and laid her little head down and was at peace. And that's what I see going on over there in Coffee and the ministry that he set forth. And so I just want to encourage you to continue your support, and thank you for the support you've given them. Mike? Okay.
Thank you, Dave. I'm going to touch again on some of those things that Dave mentioned as we go through these slides. And there are a lot of slides, so we're going to go fast. But I put them as they are so that it will remind me to say certain things. But it's important to understand that Coffee, that we will keep talking about, the head of City of Refuge, who does all this ministry, not only in Kermaine but in other places, this man is not a minister. He's a worker. He's a entrepreneur, as Dave said. He's just a man going about his life. But he was reared by Coffee, or by his mother, Comfort, with a heart and a passion to serve others. And so Comfort was from the village of Kermaine, and she and her husband moved into the city of Accra when Coffee was a little boy. And the father died when Coffee was 9 years old. And so the mother had to struggle with three children, Coffee being the oldest. She had to struggle for years to just put food on the table. And you'll see a picture here in a moment of the crowds on Market Street, downtown Accra. And she was one of the vendors with the thing on her head, selling fish or selling drinks or selling whatever. And Coffee, from about 9 years old, started selling things as well. And she taught him to use all of his resources to minister to the Lord. And so he grew up in that environment. Here's a picture of one of the main streets in Accra. Now, not all of their streets are like this. This is obviously one of the market streets. But you just have to try to envision the noise and the crowds, and those cars are creeping along. Dave and I got out and walked a couple of blocks and then had to wait on the car to catch up with us. just people everywhere. And behind those little stalls, those little tent things, are the real stores. And you can imagine what a store owner must feel like, because everybody's buying things off in the stalls before they ever get to the stores. So it's just a huge city, and it's crowded and it's noisy. People ask me what it's like. Well, it's dirty and it's noisy and it's loud and it's crowded and it's hectic and chaotic. Did I mention it's dirty? And did I mention it's loud? It's really loud. But it's great. And there are just multitudes of people there to reach out to. And so this is, again, another shot of the same street. And so Coffee is just an entrepreneur. He works hard to make a living at whatever he can do. In Ghana, public schools only go through junior high. And only if you're qualified and can pay your way can you go to high school. And then, of course, if you do well, you can go on to college. Well, Coffee in junior high worked hard, even though he was selling out here in these crowds and helping take care of his younger siblings and his mom. And he qualified because of his academic level to go to a high school on a scholarship, partial scholarship, about half scholarship. And so he actually has a high school education. And then years ago, when Beverly and Ruthie from our church, Covenant Community, went over, they met Coffee as a real young man. And so Ruthie and Mickey, her husband, paid for Coffee to go to a school, a trade school. And so they sent him to electronic school or computer school so he could learn computers and things as a trade. And so he's very proficient in all kinds of technology. And part of the things that he does, he makes videos for weddings. When I was there 2 years ago, he had contracts with the government making videos for television and different things. But the government has changed since then, so some of that's changed. So he's struggling in some areas himself. And so I just want to keep stressing, he is not a minister. He's just a worker, just like you and I. And he has to work long, hard hours, but he takes almost all of his money and invests it in ministry. The village of Tromaine is about 4 to 5 hours from downtown Accra. And so he's constantly driving out. He doesn't stay there. He doesn't live there. But he's constantly going out there to care for the 53 orphans that he's taken on responsibility for there. And as Dave said, this is a model for what can work in other places. That's originally why I went 2 years ago, to see if it was something that we could replicate. Because what he does, now to be fair, he had an intention of building an orphanage. We, our church, Covenant Community, myself and Pastor Steve Fields, who had gone a year before I did for just 2 days, we discouraged that because, as Dave says, there's a lot of difficulties with orphanages. And so he still built the building, and you'll see the building, and when I say he built it, that's what I mean. This church helps support. Our church helps support. There's a small church in Kentucky that is Ghanaians, but it's a small church, 12, 15 people, and they occasionally send money. So the support he gets comes from your church, our church, and individuals in those churches. And so he takes that and uses it, but he's doing this ministry. This is not a mission like many missions. This is not a mission where a church says, we're going to go have a project and we're going to find somebody to work with us. It's not a mission where we can say, here's what we want you to do, Coffee. Here's what's happening. This is Coffee's ministry. This is his life. He invests in this. And we simply have the opportunity to come alongside and help contribute to it as we will. If we stop all the funds, he's still doing this ministry. He was doing it before we got involved. He will do it after we're done, because he invests his own funds. And so he's involved in all kinds of entrepreneurial things. He's buying some property. He's building some little small units, and I'll give you an example of one, near colleges and high schools, because those people need housing, and it's a way to have a little bit of income. But all that he gets, he's investing, and I'll show you how you know that. Okay, the next slide. We'll try to go through fast. This is on the way to church on Sunday morning just after we got there. These are his two daughters, Ishira and Adam. One means blessing and one means grateful or something like that. Beautiful little girls. The youngest one, Adam, had malaria as we got there. Now, hers wasn't terribly serious, and so she was over it by the time we left, but malaria is a very real threat there. Okay, go ahead. They have asked me to speak at Coffee's church, a church of probably, there were probably 250 or 300 people there that morning. And so we did that. That's why we were in town, okay? And then we went out. This is, Accra is right on the coast, the Atlantic Ocean. The coast is just to my back there. And this is Coffee. And we haven't left Accra yet. We're out in the little community of Teshi. And what I want to show you here is this this here, which is actually carved into that wooden boat. Now, this is a major sea fishing boat. They'll take boats like this. The bottom of that boat, from about knee level down, is a log that's just carved out. And then they take boards and build up the sides, and they waterproof it and all of that. And they will take those boats out 10, 15 miles, and there are just hundreds of these boats along the coast. And that stenciled in, carved in number was one of the projects that Coffey got from the government. And he actually hired people, and they went all over the country, up to Lake Volta, the large lake, and all along the coast to carve that number into the boat for registration purposes so the government could collect their taxes. So that was one of the jobs that he had some time ago. But that one's long in the past. Then the next boat is just Dave dreaming about becoming a fisherman, going out 10 miles in that boat. Okay? Thank you. Go ahead. Now we've left Accra. We were there for about 2 days. And now we're going to Kromaim. This is one of the villages that we go through going to Kromaim. Kromaim is to the northwest of the town. It's only about 75, 80 miles from Coffey's home. He lives in the southeast part of Accra, and Accra is a city of several million. And so it's a traffic jam and noise and dirty and noise and dirty. And so it takes a while to get here. And so we're just passing, and we stopped to look at this because I wanted you to see this. Most of the villages get their water like this. And you can see they're washing. They're washing their clothes. They're also gathering the water that they need to go home and cook with and have for drinking. And so that's all going on there. Now the next slide is where Kromaim got their water. This is not a big, fast-running stream. This is a slow-moving stream. And this little pond here is just part of the stream coming in on the left, going out on the right. And you can see the little block wall in the front. And when I was there 2 years ago, this was just filled with kids and young people carrying their five-gallon buckets on their head, come down there to get their water. And that's where most of the water came from. At that time, I think there were two wells in the city, in the Kromaim, the village. Now there are about six. But people have to pay to get the water. Now, they don't pay a lot, but these people don't have a lot. And so many of the people would still come and use this pond, even though there were wells there, because they just couldn't afford to buy their five-gallon buckets. So the next slide, now we're at it, and I'll come back to that in just a moment, but now we're out at the City of Refuge. And this building here was originally designed, as I say, to be an orphanage. When I was there 2 years ago, there was one row of block, and they had made the block, and they were just getting it underway. Now, that building was not built by money you send or we send, primarily. Our church sends money to feed the orphans and occasionally for some clothing or things like that. This building was built from Coffey's money. And so that's why I say he invests his own funds. The water tank over here, and then we'll see some other closer pictures of that, but that was specifically donated by Covenant Community. And so over a long process, a year and a half or so, we had the well drilled and dug and the water tested, and it's good water and all of that, and we put the water tank in. And so this is the City of Refuge grounds that this church and Beverly and others helped purchase the ground. And this is Coffey's car, a 1998 Opel that he's constantly rebuilding. You can see it's spotted because he's getting ready to paint it. What you can't see in this picture is it has a new top on it. The top on his got rusty. They cut it off and put a new top on. So he's constantly, and I say that simply to say he's not about prestige or he's making do with what he has so that he can invest money building this kind of building and investing in these people. Okay, go ahead. Now, he's been doing these orphans and comfort before him for a long time, this thing too here. We're actually in Coffey's home with this picture, but she's one of the graduates of the orphan program. And because, as I said earlier, the only free education is junior high. If Coffee has people in the orphanage, among the orphans that he thinks need more education or that are capable of more and will use it wisely, he, again, out of his own pocket, sends some of them to high school. He's got three or four in college right now. One's about ready to graduate. And Coffee himself has been paying that. He pays their rent for a year at a time. He pays their tuition and all that it takes for them to go. And I've met several of them. But this young girl was one of the orphans. He took her to his home in Accra, where she lived for 3 years. He paid to have her trained as a beautician. She just recently graduated, and so now she's beginning to build her practice as a beautician, still in his home, doing the hair thing and all of that in his home. Okay, the next slide, this is Benjamin. He's right now in high school. He finished the orphan program out in the village. He showed some promise. Coffee wanted him to go to high school. So he's, again, paying for him. Our church helped pay the first semester, but now Coffee's doing it. Benjamin acted as our translator while we were here, both this time and the previous time. So Benjamin's about 21, somewhere in about that age. And so I show you these are people who have been in this orphan program for years. And then when they finish school, Coffee selectively sends them on to college. And Benjamin, when he finishes high school, he will have a certificate in agriculture and be hired by the government for at least the first year to go in other villages and teach them how to irrigate and have better success with their crops. Okay? I just wanted you to see this. This is in the village, and these are typical pastimes for the young people. You see these everywhere. He's got an old jug down here that he's cut the top out of it, and he's got a long stick with a steering wheel up there with the top from another jug, and they drive those all over town. And this other one over here has got a rim of a bicycle wheel and a straight stick, and they push that, and that's their entertainment. Because, you know, there aren't any movies, not any things that we think of as entertainment out in the village. So that's just how the kids take care of themselves, okay? This is right the center of town. This is actually a video we won't play right now. And so this was a parade day, so there's a lot more people there. This whole main street is, what, a little over a half mile long, I suppose, and then there's a cross street. And so that's the center. There's actually a picture back here with that on the wall of that same spot in that village several years ago. So it hasn't changed much. But that's what the city looks like in the center of the city. And some of those buildings are professionally built buildings, and then behind, going for a ways in all directions, are just thrown together little shacks that the people live in. Okay? And here's the feeding program. This is what Coffee does with the orphans. And this is why it's not an orphanage, and this is why it's a great plan to replicate any place in the world. When a child is an orphan, and we need to define that term a little bit, it's not necessarily that both parents are dead. In their culture, there's very little for the support for people to work, especially in the villages. And so it may be that the father's dead, and so the mother has no means of support. It may be that both parents are dead. It may be that they're just too poor, or it may be that they moved to the city to try to make a living. But these people, and Coffee screens them. While I'm there, people come and ask him, would you take this child and take on responsibility? Because here's what Coffee promises to all those that he cares for. And right now he has 53 in this village. He promises to feed them rice twice a day, every day. Now, these children are not in school uniforms because school wasn't in session at this time. But these two women, Coffee hires them, pays them. He buys the rice, he buys the things, and they feed them twice a day, whether they're in school or not. And so he feeds them, he buys their clothes, he provides a school uniform. Even though the free school, primary and junior high, are free, they can't go to school if they don't have books, usually just notebooks to take notes in, and they have to have a uniform of a certain color that's described, that's prescribed for them. So Coffee makes sure that they have the uniforms, the books, and the food, and the shoes, so that they can go to school. And then he takes these children, and he goes in the village, and he will find a family that will say, we will give them a place to sleep. They can stay here in our home. And so there's families involved. For every one of these 53 orphans, there is a family in that village that lets them come in. Now, some of them are just an old grandmother figure. Some of them are families that have four or five other kids. They can't afford to feed them. They can't afford to do the clothes. Coffee also provides some minimal insurance that would get them a little bit of treatment if they have malaria or something like that. And so all of these children are people that people have come to Coffee and said, please help us with this child. And Coffee will weigh all the factors and who's involved and how great the need is. And he'll say, okay, I'll take them in my program. And he makes those promises to them. Food, clothing, school materials, some insurance. But everybody knows that Coffee is personally committed to making sure that if they will apply themselves, they can also go on and further their education in high school or possibly college. Okay? Now, the reason we went this time was Coffee wanted to dedicate this well. We started planning to go in February. The well was finished and right at the end of January. Coffee called us one day in my office. Pastor Steve was there. I think Dave was there that morning. I meet with Pastor Steve there every week. And so Coffee called us and said, Mike, we need you to come. Well, why, Coffee? What's the urgency? Well, the well's almost finished. Okay. Well, we don't want to use the well till you come and dedicate it. Well, Coffee, we want you to use the well. Go for it. We'll dedicate it when we get there. And so they did. And so and it's a free well. Anybody in town can come and get water without pay. And so we started planning to go. And so the whole purpose of this trip was to dedicate this well. It was very important to Coffee, to Comfort, and to the village that people that helped them get the well would come and actually dedicate it to the Lord. At the same time, the building that's there in the background, the City Refuge building, Coffee has pretty much completed it. It's not fully, it doesn't have a ceiling in it. It didn't have doors that locked or windows that, and he's very afraid of putting things in there because they would get stolen. But we urged him, finish one room, Coffee, because he had a number of sewing machines. The last time I went, several people contributed, and he had bought some, and we have a dozen sewing machines. You'll see them in a moment. They're little hand-operated sewing machines, not even a treadle pedal. You turn the wheel and you sew. And that's very common there. Electricity comes and goes. But we had to have the power run for the well, of course, so they have power in the building when it's on. And so Coffee wanted us to dedicate the sewing center, which is a training center for the orphan girls, or if village girl, I say girls, right now they're all girls, but for anyone who wants to learn to be a seamstress. And in their culture, you are mentored by someone who is a professional seamstress for 3 years, every day for 3 years. And then you get a certificate saying you're a seamstress, and then you can get jobs in a number of places or open your own business. And so Coffee, for a long time with the orphans, has wanted to have vocational training. And for a long time, he always saw the sewing as the initial vocational training. And so he wanted us to come and dedicate the sewing center, which hadn't started, and he wanted us to dedicate the well. So this is the gathering that's coming in to be here for the dedication, September the 6th. Okay? It's a couple of pictures. She's leading music. Again, that was a movie. Go on. Now, just before the guest of honor arrived, this little creature came crawling along. And I just wanted you to see that. That's a scorpion. And he came crawling across, and one of the women there dutifully beat it to death. But Dave thought you wanted to see how big it is. These are some of the dangers in there. Okay, go ahead. Here, the guest of honor have arrived. Across the front here in the traditional garb are the chief and the sub-chiefs of the village. And we invited them to come. Every time we go, we go and visit with the chief and let him know what we're doing, and he's very supportive. A chief in their culture is something like a mayor of a city. Things have to go through him, except he has a lot more authority than a mayor to just say, we're going to do this. Also, it's hereditary and it's for life. So he's a young man, but he's the chief. And then the others there are the sub-chiefs, and they came to the dedication, which was very important for city of refuge. Okay? Again, the kids here in the uniforms are orphans, and that's part of their uniform that Coffee wants them all to identify together. And Coffee, again, bought all these percussion instruments. He's always looking for things to get the kids interested in. You know, maybe some of them would become musicians, or maybe some of them would become auto mechanics, or, you know, whatever. And so it's all about training them. And so Coffee's there in the background in his shirt that matches their uniforms, okay? And here's Sister Comfort, Coffee's mom, who actually started this ministry. And so I want you to, we're going to play the greeting that she sent to all the people here in LJ. She'll mention some people by name. Taylor's my granddaughter that went with us the last time. She'll mention your church. She'll mention our church. Comfort's a wonderful and godly woman.
Make sure it's recording.
Testing.
Okay.
It's recording.
Hello, brethren. You are my beloved, for you are the people God have raised for the vision to come to pass. As the Lord said, write down the vision, that whoever read will run with it. I praise the name of the living God that you read it, and together we are all running with the vision. I remember the first time you came here, I spoke and said, our vision is to raise up the destinies of these children and also to have a vocational technical training institute for them, that from the village they can get skills to develop their lives. Now, thanks be to God, through you, we have seen the beginning of it. And now the vocational training is in session now, and we are expecting that even the baking and all other stuff will also come later. I know God will help us all. I thank you so much, Brother Mickey, Sister Ruthie, Pastor Steve Fields, and your family. I thank you all, Sister Beverly and your family, Brother Glenn, and the Crossroad Christian Fellowship. We love you all. Above all, we cannot do it without the covenant community of LJ. God richly bless you all for having the loyal heart for the vision that God has given, that through you, divine purpose is coming to fruition. May God bless you. Mama Margaret, we miss you so much. I miss you, and I miss you again, even to give you the warm hug that you gave to me when you came. Please, I love you. I love you, Taylor. I've been seeing you and your baby on the Facebook. God bless you all and increase you all. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. May the Lord bless you. From City of Refuge, we say, God increase you more and more in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, go ahead. And here I am making my remarks at the dedication, and Coffee is translating for me. English is the official language of Ghana, but when you get outside the main city, most people, or very, very many people, do not speak English. The local language here is Fanti. Okay, go ahead. The chief has been invited to cut the ribbon on the sewing center, and so we're doing that. The chiefs are going with him. The one on the left, the older sub-chief, is a quite wealthy man whose original home is in Kromaim, and he's building a really nice home to come back there. But he's the sub-chief of development. And he gave a testimony at the dedication saying how Comfort had impacted his life from the early 80s and how he came to the Lord and just how God has used her in his life. He has businesses all over the country, but he was just praising God for Comfort's impact in his life. Go ahead. And here we are, chief cutting the ribbon, and we're going into the sewing center. Now, it's important to understand, when we got there, the sewing center where we're going in, there were a dozen sewing machines sitting there. There weren't any tables for them. There wasn't any tables in the room. I don't think it had been painted yet. There's nothing on the walls. The night before this ribbon gets cut, we had gone the day before and bought some lumber. The night before, Coffee and Benjamin, I showed you a minute ago, and a couple of other guys spent most of the night making the tables that where the sewing machines are mounted. So, as I say, he just gives of himself all the time. Go ahead. Now, here's looking into the sewing center, but I want you to see the plaque on the left. Go to the next picture. Here's what it says. City of Refuge, Ajumako, Kermaim. Ajumako is the area, the next largest city that's the chief city in the village. These facilities are intended as a blessing to the City of Refuge and Ajumako, Kermaim, and are made possible in part through the generous and sacrificial gifts of Mama Jewel Jones, Beverly McDaniel, Mickey and Ruth Moskowitz, Crossroads Christian Fellowship, Covenant Community of LJ, all of LJ, and the tireless work and sacrifice of Reverend Comfort Dodsey and Kofi Afore Saki, dedicated to the glory of God, September 6, 2017. So thank you for being a part of that. Okay, and now we're in the center, and of course the chiefs and the sub-chiefs, and you see the young women in the purple dresses. They are the 8 students that were there then that have already devoted their time for the next 3 years to learn to become a seamstress. And you see the tables that were finished the night before, how they've decorated the walls. You can see there's no ceiling in yet, but they're hard at work. And the classes hadn't begun yet. It hadn't been dedicated. But they began the Monday following this, and there now are a dozen girls there taking their sewing and learning a trade. Okay, go ahead. The sub-chiefs and the 8 girls that were there at the time, go ahead. And here on in the middle with the hat is the woman, the master seamstress, who is contracted with Kofi, again out of his own pocket, to come for 3 years and to teach these girls so that they can earn their certificate. She will actually come 2 days a week, and one of her previous trainees will come the other 3 days a week. But Kofi's paying for 5-day a week training for 3 years for these girls. Okay, go ahead. And here's the well that we dedicated, donated by the Covenant Community. The verse down there we thought was fitting because we want this to be a free well, come all that are thirsty and have water without payment. And so next slide is Kofi there with the well, and go on. And then, go ahead. And here I'm giving the first ceremonial cup of water to the chief of the village and thanking them for their help and participation in all that's going on. Now, Kofi supports these orphans, but he's impacting the village, and he's impacting the surrounding community. And many of those girls that are taking the sewing classes are not part of the orphans, because many of them said, nah, we don't want to learn that kind of profession. Kofi just opened it up to others. And he's hoping that through that, even others of the orphans, and as well as some of the guys, there are some excellent male tailors in other villages, but in this village, in Kermaim, it's considered a woman's place. Okay? And here are the orphans. That day they came in their uniforms, and they were there for the dedication. And so there are some of the orphans. Many of them were out of town that day, but these are part of the 53. You can see all the way from the small ones to the bigger ones. And then here we are. Next slide is Dave giving them their afternoon feeding of rice. Dave and I participated in that just a little bit. But they rely on that for their livelihood. Okay? Now, what you've just seen, the dedication of the well, dedication of the building, the plaque in memory, and those things, that was why we were there. And so for Comfort and Kofi, this was a big deal. Comfort had been sick and got well in time to get there. And so that was the highlight for them. For Dave and I, that wasn't the highlight. That came later. When we went, we took a little small PA system and a little projector that you can use a thumb drive or your cell phone or whatever, and it will be operated from a car. And so you can just pull the car up and plug it into the battery of the car. And so we took the Jesus film. Have you seen the Jesus film? 2 hours long, and it's in multiple languages all over the world. So we had it in their language, in Fanti. And so we went to several villages at night to show the Jesus film. And so here we are the first night in Kermaim, and the seats are all full, and some others came and stood around the periphery. And so we're showing the Jesus film to these people. But this was the first time we'd done that in Kermaim. After this night, after the dedication of the well and the building, after this night showing the film, we left Kermaim, and we only went back for just one brief visit before we left. And then Kofi wanted to show us other parts of the area that he's working in and other things that he's involved in. And so here in a surrounding village is a young man that Kofi learned about. And he talked to me about it a little bit. But I told him, Kofi, our people are fully committed. We can't take on more we're focusing on Kramame. I don't know what to tell you. Well, as I said, this is his work, and he's going to do it whether we help or not. And so he provided this little room, and that's just a room, just about as wide as the screen. That would be the end of the room. There's nothing in there. There's a bucket for a bathroom. There's a pallet on the floor. Coffee pays for the rent. Coffee pays people to take this young man his meals every day. Next slide. Coffee hired this man in the white shirt, who is an electrician, certified electrician, to teach that young man his trade, his profession, to apprentice him for 3 years, again, to get a certificate, so that the young man can be certified to work on small electronics, toasters and ovens and TVs and radios and those things. And so Coffee is doing that out of his own pocket to make sure that this man who is crippled can have a profession and be able to care for himself in the years to come. And so we met the master, we went to his home and shop, and so Coffee just, this is just who Coffee is. This is what he does. We have the opportunity to help. Go ahead. Here we are at another village. This is in the village of Asempeyen. And this was the highlight of the trip for Dave and I. This is where the little girl was that Dave talked about holding. This was an amazing night. We showed the Jesus film again. You know, most of these little villages have a community center, they call it, just a little shed-like thing where people can meet, where the chief can give his lectures, or where the people can come together. Donna sends nurses out to teach them nutrition and things, and they always have a community center. So this is their little community center. And we've got the projector there and the car battery down there running everything. The screen's in the back. And as I say, this is a two-hour movie. And so we started about dark and showed this movie. Started about 8, I guess. Showed the movie. It actually gets dark at 6. It's hard for us to realize that in places close to the equator, the day is actually 6 hours, and I mean 12 hours, and the night's actually 12 hours, and the time doesn't change. It's just light and then dark. So we wait till dark. But it was about 8 o'clock, and we were showing the movie. So for 2 hours, we showed the movie. We took a little break in the middle and gave a little gospel message, and then went back to the movie. And there were about 100 people here or so, more than there were in Kramame. This building extends on back, and there were some over here in the shadows, and the people were very attentive. And toward the end, Coffee told me, he said, I want you to come up, and when the movie ends, I want you to just talk to them a little bit and pray with them, and then we'll go, because it's now 10 o'clock at night. And so I go up to the front, and the people are all sitting, and the movie ended, and I just basically gave a blessing, said, I hope you get to know the Jesus that the movie's been explaining to you, and so good night, and prayed, and not a soul moved. They just sat, just like you're sitting. And then someone spoke up and told Coffee in their fancy language, we want to hear more about Jesus. We want to know how we can know him. And so we took 10 or 15 minutes, and I gave a little presentation. I encouraged them to start studying the scripture, to start praying, but to share their testimony that they wanted to know Jesus with whoever was close to them or somebody in the village that they knew, so that they could be held accountable, to find some fellowship with other believers. I didn't know if there was a church in the area or not in that, but I said, you know, you need to be a part of a church. Eventually you'll be baptized. But all of that's going to start this way. I'm going to ask you to come forward and give us your names, and we're going to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus that way. And 23 of them came. There they are. And we've got their names. And one of them, I'm not sure I could identify her here, one of them is a Muslim woman. And if you can imagine what's going to happen in her life because of what she did that night, her family will exclude her. They will not have anything to do with her. And this was a commitment, and for all of them. So we took their names. We have them, 23 names. Coffee wrote down beside each name, English Fanti, English Fanti. And I'll come back to that in a little bit. Okay, so that was the highlight of the trip for us. The next day, we decided to go back to that village. And Coffee is there all the time. He's just out ministering about. It's just a few miles from Tremaine, 4 or 5 miles maybe. And so he goes to all of these villages. He probably has property here that, as I say, plans to build. But that's a long process because he's investing his money in other places. But we went to this little store. You see cookies and suckers and drink concentrate. And we got some of the women to come and help us give out the cookies and all that. So all the kids, go ahead to the next one. Everybody in the village came for their snacks. And so here we are giving them the snacks. And go ahead, one more. One more. They're lined up there. Now, coffee is here. They've had their snack. They're all still gathered around. Coffee's holding a little book. When we went this trip, some people gave children's books and all kinds of things for us to take to give out. And Coffee's going to tell them, so he's asking them right there, how many of you want to hear a story? He's got the children's book. Well, that children's book is the story of the prodigal son. And so he ministered to him again. So it was a wonderful time. And as I say, that was the highlight of the trip for Dave and I. Okay? Go ahead. Then before we left, we did go back to Tremaine just for a brief visit and hear Dave is preaching at this church. And the pastor here, Emmanuel, we had a long conversation with him. Dave and I spent a couple of days with Emmanuel following us around with coffee. And he's a real young pastor, just started this work, I think it's 2 years ago. But we really talked to him about the need, the biggest need right now in Tremaine and these other villages, but primarily in Tremaine where the orphans are, is we need a young person who has the vibrancy and the real spiritual life to come alongside these orphans, because right now they get the food, they have shelter, they get their clothes, they get to go to school, but Coffee doesn't live there. He comes, you know, regularly, probably at least once a week, all the way from his home. But there's no real spiritual impact in their lives other than the family that they live with takes them to church, whichever church they go to. And in Tremaine, there's a Methodist church and a Catholic church and a this little Pentecostal church. And there's another Pentecostal church. And so Coffee's burden right now is for a young person to be raised up that would take on like what we would call a youth ministry to really impact the whole village, not just the orphans, but all the village. And so we talked to Emmanuel about that, but I don't know that God's put that on his heart. Go ahead. And we finally got back to Accra. And Coffee is exhausted after spending 2 weeks with Dave and I and showing us all around. But this is his home, and so he's relaxing there. The next slide shows Comfort on the left and Alice, Coffee's wife, on the right. Now, Alice, and I tell you this so you can pray for them as well, Alice is a school teacher. But she has one of those 3-year certificates, just like they give out and everything else. So it's a real low pay position as a school teacher. But right now, she's going to college. And so she and the college is in a different town. And so she's gone for a month or 6 weeks or so at a time. And then she comes home for a few days. And she just came home. She had just walked in the door when we took this picture. And then that will obviously be a promotion and salary increase and all of those things. And so she's excited about it. But they have the 2 little girls, next picture, there. And so Comfort lives in the same home, as does Thing 2, the hairdresser, as does Benjamin going to school, as does Coffee's younger brother. There's another orphan that went to Bible school and is now a pastor, but he's still living in the home, but he's a young pastor. All this is what Coffee does with these young people, all at his own expense. And so pray for the family while Alice is gone so much and for her to be successful in her studies. She's doing really well. And pray that God will raise up someone to minister to these orphans, to the young people in the village, and have the impact, the spiritual impact in their lives that Coffee really is burdened to see. And he thought, and when he started this, that just his occasional visits and having them in a home and going to the church and them knowing that God is providing for their needs in that way would really impact them. But it hasn't had the impact that he wants. They know he's Christian. They understand it's a Christian ministry. They understand that churches are involved and people give money and all those things. But somebody needs to have a burden to go in there and stay in that village and minister to these young people. And it's a wide open thing because these young people have nothing to do, not anything in the village to do. And so you can imagine what happens when young people don't have anything to do. Okay, next slide. Now, the Bibles for the village where the 23 people were. through the generosity of a friend that Dave and I have, who's not part of our church, is not even from this area, but he just read a Facebook post or something that I made while I was in there, and he said, I want to be involved with these orphans. And so he sent a sizable donation to Covenant Community, and the first thing we did was we sent money to Coffee for the Bibles. And so all the red Bibles there are in the Fante language, and the others are in English for those that read English. And he's already, since we've been home, been back, and next slide, and given these Bibles out. Here he is holding his phone, checking off his list of who gets what. And so he's giving out the Bibles. Next slide. And there again is his car. He's determined to make that thing keep running because he doesn't want to waste the money on a new car, 1998 Opel. And he just cares for it. We had to stop and get a couple of things fixed while we were there. But here he's giving out Bibles. Okay, next slide. And now here's Coffee's short message to the church and just what he wanted to say. He actually recorded this while we were at the airport about to leave. Testing.
Okay. Hello, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you so much for having our brothers here. We are so blessed to have them around. This is Kofi from Ghana, City of Refuge. We thank you all for all you've been doing to help the destinies of these orphans and deprived children. We pray that God enlarges your tent and then open more greater doors unto you so that you can continually give, so we can reach more people in the years to come. Let's not forget that in scriptures, in First John 4:12, none of us have seen God, but through the love in which we share to people, it is just the same way that God has loved us. So let's keep on loving people. Let's keep on loving the destitute. Let's keep on loving the orphans. Let's see how best we can change their destinies around. With you and me together, and all of us working hand in hand and in unison, we know God will bring us success. Amen. Shalom and peace to you all. We love you.
Coffee just turned 31. He has no theological training. He lives 5 hours away from the primary village he's working in. And yet, he's impacting multitudes of people. And so, no matter what we have to offer, no matter who we are, no matter what our gifts and background is, we can be part of spreading God's good news wherever we are, and by participating in things like this. So, I just want you to understand that this is Coffee's and Comfort's ministry, and my goal in going there the first time I went. You know, I've been to Ghana in years past and in other countries, and it's easy for them to write to us and say, well, here's what we do and here's what we need, and we promise to do it right. And so I went to just see if they're really doing the stuff and using the resources wisely and to know what their needs were. And I can tell you this, Coffee is the real deal, and they're really using our resources wisely. And they're impacting many in many different places and in many different ways. And so I commend their ministry to you. Dave is going to put out a couple of sheets in the back. And here's all I'm asking that you do. Coffee wants to know that there is a prayer chain. Just that, a prayer chain. To supporting what's going on there. And so if you can make a commitment to pray for them and other needs, and I'll read you the needs, at least one time a week, I'm asking you to sign which day that will be for you, and let's see if we can get at least somebody praying each day for these specific needs. And then there's a little piece of paper that you can take with you and write down the name or the day that you promised to pray, and this will be your bathroom mirror, your refrigerator reminder to pray for them. And here's what I'd ask you to pray for. Coffee and Alice, Yashira and Adam, the children, and Comfort. Pray for the orphans, 53 of them in that village. And there are others in other villages that he's caring for, a couple here, a couple there, that he's contributing to. And here's what he wants. He wants you to pray that God's light will shine in the darkness in Kromaine. Break through the darkness that's there. The scene that I showed you from right downtown when there were a lot of people there, that was a day of a parade. And it was a parade to honor the dead warriors. And so there were a lot of people dressed in strange things and a lot of ceremonies going on and a real dance going on, and it just drew people out. But they revere the dead in a lot of ways. There's a lot of witchcraft. There's a lot of things going on. And Coffee would like to know that there are people every day praying that the darkness be broken and that the light shine through. Pray for the 23 new believers in Asimpian, the village of Asimpian. Pray for the other orphans and the needy people that Coffee ministers to in the surrounding villages. And then finally, and very importantly, pray that God will raise up a young spiritual leader with a heart to minister to the young people in Kromaine and the surrounding villages, whether they're orphans or not, the young people, so that the gospel can be made relevant to them and in their situation. They have very little future to look forward to. There's no industry for miles. It's a really poor country. The main thing they eat, the staple food, is the cassava root. That is just a root, a big tuber, and it's so tough that they have to beat it all day long to make it malleable, and then they eat it. And that's one of their primary things. So those prayer requests from Coffee, and hopefully a number of you will sign up so that we can report back to him. Our prayer chain has started. People are going to remember you and the work that's going on there. Let me pray, and then I thank you again for allowing me to be here. Father, I thank you for the privilege of going to places like Kromaine and coming alongside people like Comfort and Coffee and seeing the tremendous work that you're doing in them. I thank you for being challenged to see a 31-year-old man with limited education and limited resources and with so many family responsibilities, just giving and giving and giving of himself and his resources. And trying to multiply his resources, not for his own satisfaction, but so that he can give more. And I thank you for the challenge that is to me personally. I pray your blessings on the work there. I pray your blessings on this church. I thank you for the contributions that they've made over years and their participation in this ministry. And I thank you for people here that are already praying. The prayer request was in the bulletin this morning. I'm sure it's there all the time. But now, Lord, we're asking for daily prayer by people in the congregation. And so we just thank you for the privilege we have of sharing in the work you're doing through others and taking our little resources and our little energy and multiplying it to bring multitudes into your kingdom. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.